gentle. Thank you for your word. Thank you for men and women of God who seek you daily and feed into our lives. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comforts us, gives us wisdom, comes upon us in power. Thank you, Father, for the words that are going to come out of my mouth today are going to be your words and not my own. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. It's crazy, everything. I love testimonies. It almost happens pretty much 99% of the time as people give testimonies. I'm like, you just pretty much gave my entire sermon. It was funny. I walked in this morning. I said, Jed, the title of my sermon is The Fire. That's God. That's God. That's what God is just urging me on in that realm. I listened to a bunch of sermons by Smith Wigglesworth. If you guys haven't ever read any of his stuff, it's insane. I mean, the guy just walked around and just, he had an understanding of God like nothing else. I mean, he just understood God. If God said it, he believed it, and he did it. It's good. An interesting thing about him was he was a terrible speaker. And he had gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. And he told his wife, I'm preaching this Sunday. And she said, you can't preach. You're a terrible speaker. And he got up and he spoke and it was powerful. And his wife was screaming in the back, that's not my husband. I think that what's interesting is there's the story that keeps standing out the most in my mind, you know, because he has all the testimonies about healings and everything. But the more I read about it, it's not my favorite one. I don't even remember what the woman was healed of. There was a woman who was a Scientologist, and he came and he healed her. And she said, I don't know who this Jesus is. You know, I'm a Scientologist. I don't know who this Jesus guy is. He goes, well, I want to introduce you to him. And she said, if you introduce me to Jesus, do I have to give up smoking? And he said, no. And he said, well, do I have to give up drinking? And he said, no. She goes, well, we play cards a lot and do gambling. Do I have to give up gambling? No. We love to go dancing. Do I have to give up dancing? He said, no. He goes, just let me introduce you to my Jesus. And he started talking to her about Jesus, and she had a full Holy Spirit revelation of who God is. And she goes, I don't want to do any of that stuff anymore. All the desires, I mean, it was just immediately gone. She goes, I'm going home, and I'm telling all my Scientologist friends that we're not even teaching the truth, and you need to know about this Jesus. I don't even remember what she was healed about. What I know is she found God, and that's what the Holy Spirit is about. I mean, God does not want us to be sick and in pain and all that kind of stuff, but he wants us to know him. This past week, Stephen Evans, I don't know if any of you guys know who he is. He was Dev Evans' son, or he is still Dev Evans' son. He is an evangelist. They go out all over the world and they put on huge crusades. And, you know, they'll have 10, 20,000 people come and they, you know, they go to South America and Africa. And, you know, the problem with the church nowadays is we don't expect God to show up like he did in Acts or even 100 years ago for Smith Wigglesworth. We don't expect that. We're like, that doesn't happen anymore. And I'm like, why not? Why not? It's interesting because at camp earlier this year, they always sing these songs or talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, come Holy Spirit, and that always confused me. And being under my dad, I should know better, but I always confused me. I thought, well, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit was in me. I speak in tongues. Obviously, I have the fire. And I'm starting to realize that I don't know that I do have the fire. I have the Holy Spirit in me. He speaks to me. I know because he talks to me, gives me wisdom, shares with me things that I would not know on my own. But it's like you read about these men and they walk into a room. And people just fall in love with Jesus just because of the presence of God that's on them. The dreams that God has given me. It's not always in this church, but it's usually in this church. And I see people just prostrate and worshiping, and I know it's. It's real. You know, it's not just the normal church where you just kind of go and you listen to a sermon. It's like the Holy Spirit is moving and people are touched and people know God the way he intends us to know him. Sorry. This election was a gift. But we need to not waste it like we did the last one. God gave us 4 years, you know, years ago, and we didn't. We just kind of sat on our laurels. It's time to do something about it. And it's not, what's interesting is I got this revelation this week. It was about faith. Because you think you pray for something, and you're like, and they didn't get healed. And I go, I must not have had enough faith. And you're like, but Jesus said, grain of mustard seed, and I can move a mountain. Which is absurd. I mean, it's a mountain, a little tiny bit of faith. And the revelation was this. My faith isn't in my faith. My faith is in God. If I'm worried about how much faith I have, then I'm misunderstanding. It's not about that. My faith is in knowing that God already did it. It's already been done. So if I'm worried about if I have enough faith or not, I just need to go, hey, you know, talking about a loving father, you know, in the Bible it says, you know, the father's not going to give their child a stone or a scorpion. It's like, how much more is a loving heavenly father who has no sin in him? What is he going to do? I thank the Lord for my father who gave us an incredible foundation. Because if you don't understand who God is, it's hard to hear from him. You know, if you think he's an angry judge, you're not going to like him. You're going to run away from him. My brother-in-law, we went and saw them this summer. And I know because he and his wife, she said, you know, if you're going to marry me, you have to go to church. And I thought that was awesome. And then I asked them, you know, are you guys still going to church? He said, we're not. I said, why? He goes, there's no life there. That hurt so bad. The world doesn't want to be a Christian because we're not very good examples of what it is to be a Christian. Sorry. It's not even hard. That's the stupid thing. God tells us to rest in him. He makes such a big deal about it. How do I do it? How do I do this? How do that? It's just like, just shut up and rest. And he will tell you exactly what to do. But you got to get out of your own wisdom and your own head. Your own way of thinking is, our thinking is not like his thinking. The word tells us that. We think in a natural mind, in a carnal mind. He thinks in a spiritual mind. We don't even understand. I mean, you know, we think, well, God can't do that because that's a natural thought. It's like, whew, God can do anything in the spirit. He created the entire world out of nothing. That's why I love listening to those creationist channels. Just the first couple books of Genesis are incredible. I mean, it's ridiculous. The world will say, well, you're insane for believing that. And you're like, no, have you not read it? Every verse is there for a purpose, and it has a meaning, and he wrote it that way on purpose. You ever notice that the light comes before the sun? Like, how do the plants survive if there's no sun? The light came before the sun. So the sun was just there so we wouldn't go like, how does the light get here? There's a little object there, you know. I'm going to read a few things that I wrote down this week. You guys, my problem is God gives me revelations and I don't write them down, so I have to try to always remember to write them down because I won't remember it later. I'll be like, that was so powerful, and then it's just gone. You're not saved by your faith. You're not healed by your faith. You're healed by God. Faith is the doorway by which God heals you. Your faith doesn't cause it. Faith is believing in what has already been done. I'd have to study that some more. I don't think that's sacrilegious. I think that's pretty accurate. But we put so much emphasis on faith. I remember somebody came and prayed for us one time when we were trying to have a baby, and they're like, well, you just don't have enough faith. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I've had revelations from God. I know that we're going to have a baby. I have plenty of faith. And the problem is God sometimes just does things in his own timing. If Gabby hadn't been born when she was born, she wouldn't have been Gabby. She would have been somebody else. God knew exactly when she was going to be born. And it was perfect. Are you worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The question is Jesus worthy to be filled? I mean, I know Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit. It's just stuff going on in my head. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is Jesus worthy to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Jesus in you, not you, has nothing to do with you at all. You are vain and empty and can do nothing apart from Christ. It is not me doing it. It is Jesus doing it. It is not my faith. It is the faith that Jesus has put in me. The fact that Jesus did it, the blood of Jesus is the qualifying factor, not whether everybody's on the program. This has to do with, you know, you think, well, God, it can't happen yet because not everybody's on the same page. You know, we're not there yet because there's somebody holding, and I always think it's me. I always think I'm Jonah holding us back. God, am I the Jonah? Am I the reason? Are you waiting for me? And I almost think it because God has told me, because God, I said, God, how do we put people in the pews so that they can hear about you? And he said, just seek me. I'll bring the people. And that's a lot easier because it's really hard to get people in here. Just seek me and I'll bring the people. Jesus does everything, we do nothing. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, the power, all things that you worry about, fixing and doing and changing, become moot because you no longer need to fix yourself up. Because you realize your old man is dead and you are now alive in Christ who is perfect. We don't realize that. Because, I mean, it's my one fear in life is pride. I never want to be proud. And I think that's been a stumbling block for me because I have not used what God has given me because I did not want to be proud about it. But if somebody gives you a fantastic tool, you don't hide it in the garage. You get it out and you use it because it was a gift for you to use. It's God's job to work on the pride, not mine. Let's see, the last thing was, don't receive a command without a promise. A lot of times we go and do stuff and we think it's from God, and it's not. If God gives you a command, he'll also attach a promise to it. Somebody said the other day, he said, you see people going around, they're like, I love God and I love working for God, but I'm so tired. And God says, well, I didn't give you that to do, and I didn't give you that to do, and I didn't give you that. You just start picking up things all over the place, thought it was your job. Amen. Because if you were listening to me, you'd know that I just had this one job for you. So stop adding stuff to your plate that's not yours to have. And I know if in the ministry I get tired, I know that I'm not doing it God's way. As he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm getting into, a man came by yesterday. It's always funny, people show up randomly. And he was asking me about gardening, and then he was talking about self-pity. And I thought, well, that's horrible. And I thought, man, I probably have some self-pity in me. So I was like thinking about this man, that's horrible that you have self-pity. I'm like, well, how ridiculous to think that I don't have any self-pity of my own. Because I know I do. It's all right, God will take care of it. It's interesting that he sent that man to my house and I was talking to him. I guarantee you God's going to be working on self-pity in my life next. You see, when he'll bring things up and to show you, hey, here's what's going on. Here's what I want you to see. I have a funny story. It just seems like everything's been going wrong lately. So the other day, not in a, like, world falling apart way, but it's just like I was on a job and I had to take a countertop off and replace the cabinet underneath it because the person didn't want a new countertop. So it was kind of tricky, and so I had to take the toilet paper holder off. And somebody already kind of knocked it off, so I thought, well, I'll be nice and I'll put it back. And as I was doing that, the screw fell off and it rolled down into a crack. So I laughed. I thought, well, that's hilarious. I thought, well, I have to go to the store anyways. Hallelujah, I'll just buy a new toilet paper roller holder. So I went to the store and got some stuff, and I got back, and I'm going to get in the back of my truck, and the handle on my tailgate breaks. And you think, well, that's no big deal. You just reach in the back. Oh, no, I have a cover, and it's locked. After I get that open, the crazy thing is, what was wonderful is I just laughed. I just thought, devil, you're not going to get me. God loves me. This is awesome. And what's crazy is I was supposed to get to a second job that day, and it never happened because things just kept cascading. God, we have our own plans, but God guides our steps. God knows what we need to do. He knows where we need to be. And then later that day, I was going home and almost got hit by a semi. I was like, devil, you are trying to take me out today. Well, you can't. God has a purpose for me. You got the angels surrounding me. So, God is good. It's you could choose to have an effect of either way. You could either just get totally angry, or you could just laugh and enjoy God's presence. I'm going to be in Acts chapter 5 today. I always hate this first part of Acts chapter 5. I think it's awful, if you guys know what Acts chapter 5 starts with. But it's funny that somebody would lie to the Holy Spirit. It's like, it's the Holy Spirit, guys. They obviously know what's going on. But a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a property and secretly kept back from the price. Remember, this is after all the disciples were getting together and they were sharing goods and everything. They were taking care of one another. And sold the property and secretly kept back the price. His wife was also aware of it, and being a certain part, he placed it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart for you to lie to the Holy Spirit? So here's his first problem. If the Holy Spirit calls you out, just say, yep, I did that. He's not. He doesn't care. Remember the woman. Hey, do I have to give up smoking? No. You know, God will take care of that. You know, it's like, oh, you're right. I had fear, Lord. I had fear that I was going to give away everything I had and I wasn't going to be blessed. So I kept back. I took care of myself because I didn't really trust you to take care of me. I'm not telling you guys to go out and sell everything you have. That's between you and God. God will tell you what to do. He has businessmen for a reason. And, you know, everybody has a purpose. Everybody in the body has a purpose, no matter how insignificant. The person that we have a lady who cleans the church. Man, what a gift that is. People go, wow, she cleans the church. That blesses me to no end. To know when I walk in on Sundays that there's going to be toilet paper and Kleenex and everything's going to be vacuumed. Man, what a gift. Now we just need to get her to come to church. But Peter said, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart for you to lie to the Holy Spirit and to secretly keep back from the price of the land? Remaining, did it not remain yours? So it was like, it was already, you didn't have to lie about it. It was already yours. And being sold, was it not your authority? Why is it that this action was put into your heart? Did you not lie to men? You did not lie to men, but to God. And hearing these words falling down, Ananias expired. And great fear came upon all those hearing those things, and rising up, the younger ones wrapped him up and carried him out, and they buried him. Well, that's pretty harsh, God. Oh, man. But it's always funny. God knows everything. Why would you lie to him? You would have no understanding of who that was. But again, he didn't trust God. You know, I need to keep back some for myself. But he was like, you didn't even have to. You could have just given us half and said, hey, I gave you half. You didn't have to sell it all and say, I gave you all of it and only give half. And about 3 hours afterwards, his wife also entered, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me if you gave over the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, why was it that it was agreed with you and to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those burying your husband at the door. Yes, they were carrying, and yes, they will carry you out. And immediately she fell at his feet and expired. And entering, the younger ones found her dead and carried her out, and they buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and all those hearing these things. I'm going to keep going. I think as a kid, that's, story scared me a lot. I thought, man, you can't, you know, don't lie to God. But it's not even that anymore. It's like, why? Why would you? Just tell, God wants all of it. He wants all the garbage that's in you. He wants, there's no good in you. So he just wants all of it. So it's like, just tell him the truth. Share your heart. People are so afraid to share their heart with God. They're like, well, it's probably not the right thing. I mean, if Ananias had come up and said, hey, I sold my house for, you know, $10,000 and here's $5,000, he would have been telling God his heart. But instead, he, you know, lied. It's like, just tell God your heart. He's interested. You know, sometimes Gabby will ask for something and she doesn't need it. She doesn't need most of the stuff she gets. But she wants it. She wants it really bad. And if she doesn't get it, her life's going to fall apart. And sometimes we give in, sometimes we don't. But she tells us what she wants. And she's unabashed about it. And that's good. That's the way we should be before God. But the thing is, the more we fall in love with him, the more the carnal stuff will not be so significant. It'll be more stuff like, Father, I want the gift of this. I want the gift of that. I want, and the thing is you kind of go, well, I don't want to be selfish. See, then again, your pride comes into it. And so you start wrestling with that and you go, Father, what is your will? What have you designed me for? What is your, and so you have to run through all that in your head and get back to the point where not your will, but mine be done. I mean, sorry, that was terrible. That was totally horrible. Not my will, but yours be done. Guys, that was a falsehood. Don't listen to that part. Heresy. That's the human version. Not your will, but mine, Lord. Not my will, but yours. It's good. I still game a little bit. So I game quite a bit, actually. And Mary goes, why? And I'm like, it's because I'm so... I would say it's almost fear, because it's like I spend so, like I'll spend all day listening to the word and reading the word, and I don't know. It's just like I'm afraid that God's going to do something. Isn't that crazy? Why should I be afraid? I should be excited. I'm like, I just want to shut it all out and I just don't want to think about anything. You know, it's like, because it's not happening how I thought it would happen. It's not happening when I thought it would happen. Maybe I didn't do it right. And it's like, man, just peace. It's ridiculous. Just peace. Just trust God. And many miracles and wonders among the people took place through the hands of the apostles. And they were all with one passion in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, no one dared to be joined to them. So what's interesting is when you're, because I was talking with somebody yesterday or the other day about the word denomination means a division of names. So when you're in the Holy Spirit, there are no denominations. You don't have separate thoughts. You only have the thoughts that the Holy Spirit is putting in you. And so we don't use our own wisdom and our own brilliance. We just go, God, what do you want? I was telling the young man, we were at dinner at their house, and I said, what I want for this building is that we walk in and we hear the Holy Spirit, and if the Holy Spirit says, don't have a normal church service today, worship me the whole time, or give testimony the whole time, or just pray for Botswana the whole time, or have a sermon, or that's what I want. Is when we walk in, we know exactly what God wants to happen in this building, because often it becomes too liturgical. We show up and we worship and we give testimonies, and then we preach, and then we all go home. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's fantastic. But we didn't ask the Holy Spirit what was needed. And of the rest, no one dared to be joined to them, but the people greatly magnified them. And more believing ones were added to the Lord, multiplied of both men and women. And so to carry out the sick in the streets and to the places, them on cots and mattresses, and that the coming of Peter, even his shadow, might overshadow some of them. And also the multitude came together from the cities around Jerusalem, bringing sick ones and those being tormented by the unclean spirit, who were all healed. And rising up, the high priest and all those with him, which were in the sect of the Sadducees, were filled with zeal, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the public custody. Don't be messing up. Dad would always say, don't mess up our lunch program. There's churches that do things. You know, they got to do it this way and this way. And if you don't do it this way, then God's not happy with you. God comes in and he goes, yeah, that's not the way it works. I already know who you are, and I know everything you've done and everything you will do, and I still love you. Amen. And and the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison during the night. So that's what you got to know. I mean, God could have left him there. Remember, some of them, God could have left him there and it would have been okay. You know, every time the Israelites went into captivity, those that sought the Lord were always blessed. And they blessed. Not that they, and actually, oddly enough, it's not even that they were blessed. Everybody around them was blessed. That's why if you have a person who really loves Jesus is, you know, sold out, and they're in your government, man, you're going to be blessed because they want to bless everybody. If the person is listening to God, they're not interested in their own. They're not interested in what they can get. They're interested in, it's like Jeff works at Walmart, and he loves to bless all those people that work under him. He likes to make sure the shelves are stocked for the customers. Why? It's a blessing to those people. Go, and he said, let's see, oh. But the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the prison during the night, and leading them out, he said, go, standing in the temple, and speak to the people all the words of this life. It's like, you guys aren't done. You got more to preach. I mean, can you imagine? You just threw some guys in jail, and you come back a couple hours later, and they're standing out there preaching again. Hey, how'd you guys get out of jail? Especially like here in Fort Worth, Cooper and I went and visited Debbie Carter. You can't get out of that place. Can you imagine God just opening up all the doors? You just walk out. Hey, God told me to go preach some more. I mean, the jail guys wouldn't know what to do. They would freak out. And hearing, they went into the temple about dawn and taught. But having come near, the high priest and those with him called together of the Sanhedrin and all the elderhood of the sons of Israel, and they set to the jail to have them brought. But having come near, the officers did not find them in the prison, and returning, they reported, saying, indeed, we found the jail having been shut with all security, and the guards outside standing before the doors, and opening it, we found no one inside. And then they heard these words. Both the priests and the temple commander and the chief priests were in doubt concerning them, what this might become. And having come, one reported to them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are now in the temple standing and teaching the people. When God tells you to do something, he's going to make a way to do it. I could say that out loud, and I would hope that I would believe that when the time comes. My dad would always say, if they put bamboo shoots under my fingernails, I'd give in. Oh, I don't know why he thought of that. Maybe that was just something that happened during his era. I don't think that's a thing anymore. Now it's waterboarding. Then the commander, going with the officers, they brought them, not with force, for they feared the people that they might not be stoned. And bringing them, they stood in the Sanhedrin, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not command you by a command that you not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and indeed to bring on us the blood of this man. But answering, Peter and the apostles said, it is right to obey God rather than man. It's interesting because we're at that dinner the other night, we were talking about some family that they have and that they have kind of lost their way. And you have to pray. You have to go, God, how do you? I mean, because you just wanted to smack them over the head and go, you're an idiot. You had the truth, and now you're going after this garbage. What's wrong with you? And that may be the right answer. But often not. It's often you just have to love them and wait on the Lord's timing. It's good for us to fall down in the mire sometimes to realize how good we had it with God. It's like, oh man, why was I a dog returning to my vomit, as the Bible would say? that's ridiculous. You know, God is offering me a steak dinner and I'm returning to the vomit. It's like, sometimes we have to go back there to remember, that was stupid. It's fun when, I don't know if the devil ever tries to tempt you with old sins and you go, oh, that's vomit. I'm not doing that again. I remember. Has that ever happened to you? I know how that turns out, devil, and it doesn't bless me. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you laid hands on, hanging him on a tree. God has exalted this one as a ruler and a savior to his right hand to give Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of the things and also of the Holy Spirit whom God gave to those obeying him. So we're those same witnesses. It hasn't changed at all. That's what I'm saying. The church is a horrible witness. They're either completely liturgical or crazy charismatic, and they're all interested in keeping attendance and, you know, what programs they have, and not just about hearing the Holy Spirit and hearing God and falling in love with God and seeing the nature of God. One of my favorite scriptures is, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is a weird scripture, the joy of the Lord. So if you think about it from a parent's perspective, I have so much joy over my daughter, and that's her strength. And I'm just a man. We're talking about God, the Almighty God, the omnipotent creator of all, omniscious, you know, always been around, always will be around. But those hearing were cut, and they took counsel to do away with them. So it's like when you, where it is, the people on the left right now are cut. They're mad that we won. And we're like, man, there's enough joy for all of us. You guys don't have to be upset. It's I mean, I can't judge them, because it's hard sometimes. I mean, it would be hard for me to give up something that I believed in if I believed in it my whole life and I found out it wasn't true. It would be hard to turn on that. But it's like, I can tell you for a fact that God is true. You know, if I came upon an unbeliever, it's like, they'd be like, well, how do you know? And I'm like, I know without a shadow of a doubt. Well, can you prove it? No, I can't. I can't, except for, you know, the world around me and the love that's in my heart, and the fact that I love you, and even though you're wicked to me. That's not normal. That's not a human thing. There's lots of external things that I can say, but it's like, I don't know, I'm getting down a rabbit trail. But they were cut, and they took counsel to do away with them. But one standing up in the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law honored by all the people, commanded the apostles to be put outside a little while. And he said to them, men, Israelites, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do of these men. For before these days, Thaddeus rose up, claiming himself to be somebody, to whom was joined a number of men, about 400, and who was done away, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After this, Judas the Galilean rose up in those days in the registration, and he drew considerable people after him, and yet that one persisted, and all were scattered. That one perished, and all were scattered, as many as obeyed him. And now I say to you, draw away from these men and permit them, because if this council is of men, of this work it will be destroyed. That's good. I mean, that's wisdom. Hey, if this isn't God, it'll go away. This guy was a false teacher. Gone. this guy was a false teacher, it's gone. If this isn't real, why are you worried about it? But if it is from God, you will not be able to destroy it, lest you be found even fighters against God. It's good. And they obeyed him, and having called the apostles, beating them, they charged them not to speak on the name of Jesus and released them. They had like a little last beating in there. Oh, man. We're not allowed to do anything to you, so we're going to beat you. And then we're going to say, hey, don't tell anybody about Jesus anymore. Then they indeed departed from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were deemed worthy to be dishonored on the behalf of his name. Isn't that awesome? You dishonored me. I was dishonored. That's okay, but it was for the name of Jesus. God has a plan for me, and you are too scared to do anything against God. And every day they did not cease teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the temple and and from house to house. That's good. We have house churches, and we have this church. You know, it's in the Bible. But in those days, the disciples multiplying a murmuring of the Hellenists towards the Hebrews occurred because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving. And having called near the multitudes. Oh, sorry, I went into the next chapter. I'm going to stop. That's something completely different. We need to be expecting the Spirit to move. We need to, when I go to that camp, you know, and I just hear those songs about let the Holy Spirit, let your fire fall. The Holy Spirit is in us, but the power is there as well. And it's all the gifts, healing and prophesying and teaching and ministrations, you know, and it's not just the fancy ones. It's all the gifts, you know, organization. Got to people organize, you know, money, you know, helping people do well with their money. I'm not a good money person. Don't ever ask me to keep your money. I'm not good with it. Mary will tell you. My dad wouldn't either. That's probably why. Sorry, Dad. I told on you. So I assume that's why God never gives me any extra. Dave, you'll just waste it. Yeah, I know, but it'd be fun to have some every once in a while. Think of all the people I could bless, God, if I had tons of money. Yeah, but you'd waste it. I'm like, all right. Give somebody else the money who won't waste it. You give me the gifts that I need to do what I need to do that you've given me to do. And in those I will abound. So God is moving, and I don't want to be part of it. I'm going to be part of it. And I want you guys all to be part of it. Be seeking him and listening to him. Remember, just get quiet. Get quiet before God. And that's very hard to do. It's easier for men. Men can shut off their minds. Women cannot. That's what I hear. I'm not a woman, so I don't know. Oddly enough, if you think about it, God's been around for eternity. He's had a lot of time to sit around, you know. And just think about things and meditate on things and enjoy things. Where we have, you know, 80 to 100 years and we're always rushing around trying to do everything instead of enjoying what's right in front of us. So that's my prayer for myself, is that I'm able to stay quiet and hear God. He talks to me, and I know he talks to me because I hear his voice, but I want to hear it like those mighty men that just would walk into a room and God would tell them what to do, and they would do it. Have no fear, understanding it's all God. It's going to happen now. I mean, this is the end times. There's going to be a great harvest. Couldn't think of the word. Remember, because the fields are white in the world, and the laborers are few. This is all God's got right here in this church. No. So, be just praying on that this week, on the Holy Spirit falling on us everywhere we go, so that when we wherever we go, we are able to minister to people, and not be afraid. Because I understand what God wants for me sometimes, and He'll tell me to do something, and I'll get about ready to do it, and I'll get a little fear will come on me, and I'll go, I don't know if I should be doing this, and that's stupid. So what if I look like an idiot? So what if I'm dishonored? If I'm dishonored because I'm doing what Jesus told me, what a gift that is. You guys have an awesome week. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for not just saving us, but also growing us up and then working through us. Thank you that you're going to teach us everything about you that we need to know. Thank you for everyone that's here. I pray for all that goes on during their week that you bless it, and that all the conversation that comes out of their mouth is edifying. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, will you give us the Aaronic